I never knew a love like this before. Here's Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
How's this for a classic Duran Duran tune?
And it kind of fits. It's a little topical.
Yeah.
I see where you're going.
See where I'm going?
We need freeze frame next.
You know, there was... I could have sat down. I mean, Photograph. There was a million songs out there that was... Girls on Film. If you're trying to get your girls on film, or guys on film, or cars
kids on
film, or kids on film, or... Oh, actually, there's no film involved here.
Well, there is. It's they call it digital film. Those little cards, right?
I suppose.
Even though we just call them
memory sticks. You know you like it. You know you use it. And you know you don't know how to use it. And that's the point of this show. Is we're hoping somewhere along the next hour or so, we're going to give you one of those aha moments where you're going to go, that was easy to remember, and that's going to help me.
I'm going to give you two right now.
Go ahead already.
I think probably the number one and number two things in no particular order.
Yes.
Get closer.
Yes.
Turn on more light.
Turn on the light.
Well, turn on just more light, get closer. If you do nothing else, if you take nothing else, if you remember nothing else from this show, when you're taking a digital picture.
Don't use the zoom.
In general, yeah, just get closer, physically move towards the subject. The subject is the thing you're taking a picture of. Right?
Well, that's with their people or that kind of thing. If it's a landscape, it's a little tough. It keeps running from me.
Get closer and add more light.
Turn on the flash even though it's daytime.
And natural light is better than not natural light, right?
Not necessarily.
Well, generally, but I mean...
You know another little trick?
If you can go outside, that's better than not.
If it's a bright and shiny day and there's lots of ambient light...
A bright and sunshiny day?
Yes. Put your subjects in the shade, then turn your flash on. And what that does is that helps balance the bright color around and the actual flush tones of the subject.
And... Another tip, if you're shooting outdoors, put the sun to your back if you are the photographer, right? Because you don't want to create shadows on people's faces, so if the sun's behind them, shining towards you, not good.
Well, that's if you use the flash, it doesn't matter. Actually, for the kind of the neatest pictures that you can get.
The most neatest?
Most neatestest?
Yeah.
Try putting the light at a 90 degree angle between you and the subject.
90 degree angle. What's that mean?
Then turn your flash off.
I got it. So
I mean,
like
turn your flash on. I mean,
put the light on on the ground.
90. Yeah.
Take it right at noon.
Have it come from the ground,
or from the sky.
Yeah.
Directly overhead.
No, actually, you would rotate everybody so that.
What if everybody laid down?
Yes. And stood on their heads.
And then you got on a ladder.
Yeah.
And shot downward.
These valuable tips and more can be yours free of charge at datadoctors.com. Click on the radio show section. You'll see all of these resources and ideas and links, and we'll have many more as we go on. But for now, let me say, let's go to the phones.
Do you want fungus, or do you want...
I don't care.
Okay.
It is what it is.
You asked for it. You get what you deserve.
Is there fungus among us?
Oh, no, no fungus today.
No?
It's our windsurfing champion of the world.
Kite surfing.
Why do I keep saying windsurfing? I love kite surfing. I did it once.
Well, hey, you know what? For a kite to actually work properly, you do need wind. So it's a wind kite surfing kind of situation, I'm sure.
Yeah, when I tried it in Maui, I took a lesson. There was enough wind to yank me out of the water about 30 feet.
They call that parasailing.
No, I was skipping like a rock.
That's also called controlling the kite.
No, yeah, that's not something that I have any possibility of doing anytime soon.
It's cool, though, isn't it?
It was a lot of fun. It wore me out, and I never even got to the point where I could actually try to slap the board on. I was just spent the whole time.
Dragging, huh?
Yeah, I just spent the whole time trying to control that stupid thing. But it was fun. I'll do it again. So what's on your mind today, Lewis?
Well, I'm going to tease your keyboard shortcut of the week, but I'm not going to say what it is, but it doesn't work as advertised with Firefox.
Well, but Firefox isn't a real browser.
Since I converted to Firefox with you guys' suggestion.
Well, it is a real browser. It just is not a compatible
just
with everything
kidding.
In the world browser.
Actually, yeah, that's a good point, though. Mr. Chad, if you're listening, Mr. Fantastic Editor of the Newsletter.
Fantastical.
You need to include browser tricks that work specifically in, you know, I mean, obviously if it doesn't work in the other browser.
Well, the thing is, the shortcut does open a new window in Firefox, but it's your home page, not a duplicate of what's already open.
Oh, then it still works.
Well, since you're not going to give the shortcut away, even though you just did, perhaps we should...
No, I didn't. I didn't say what it was. I have to listen to the show to find out.
Perhaps we should clue the rest of the listening populace.
Go ahead already.
Well, for the other three of you listening, the shortcut of the week is Control N. N as in Nancy, or in this case, new.
How about nincompoop?
Or in the case of Lewis, nincompoop.
I'm feeling a lot of love in this here studio.
Yeah, I can't stand that much.
So by tapping Control N as in new, as Mr. Lewis just alluded to, it opens a new browser window. See how that works?
And in Internet Explorer, it will open a new browser window with whatever you're currently viewing. And apparently in Firefox, it opens a new browser window with your home page.
Yeah.
Either one, really. I mean, they both get you to where you want to go because you're actually trying to go somewhere else anyway if you're opening a new browser window.
Yeah, chances are you didn't just want to have a copy of the same page you were already at, or you wouldn't have bothered to Control
N. You'd be surprised how many times I want to because I'm looking at a product or something. And I'm going to go back to what I previously saw. So if I open the same page again, I have the page I'm on now, and I can go back.
Because the back button really hurts, right?
Yeah, but you lose what you have, and you may have filled out some stuff in a form.
You're talking about sites where there's some dynamic content.
Yeah, or you may be checking out a product, and you want to go back to the product you looked at before.
Sure.
Anyway, something else that Firefox has an interesting thing with is if you do a selection and try to print out a selection, that for the graphics you get black squares instead of the selection you printed.
Isn't that special? That's what they call quality you can afford.
There's no way around that, though, I don't suppose, huh?
You know, I don't use, when I do the printing, I don't normally use Firefox. So, you know, that's something we'll look into. Chad, you getting that?
He's on the phone. We'll get it for him.
We'll make a note out of it. We'll make a little note here.
Hey, Lewis, thanks for the call. Thanks for the wisdom. And thanks for being weird.
Louis, you are welcome. Have a good weekend, guys.
Let me make a note here. Louis needs help when he's at the Victoria's Secret website.
Right.
Okay. Got it. All right, Louis. Hey, thanks for chiming in. That's going to free up a phone line at 602-277-5827. I'm assuming it was Victoria's Secret. I could have been wrong.
Where else would it be? Isn't that what the internet's for?
Uh-huh.
That and other things similar, right?
Next up on the line, on the phone, or do we have time?
Did we go too far?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just ignoring
it. Of course we got time.
Who we got there? Rick?
Yes, hi.
Rick, welcome to the computer corner. Hey, do you have a digital camera?
Yes, I do.
Do you love it?
Do you know
everything about it?
Probably not.
Do you want to share any of your ahas, or do you have any that you want to share with the folks?
Well, I was listening to what you said earlier, about taking the pictures in the sun, well, especially Arizona, where we've got so much. And it is hard to get a good picture in full daylight, middle of the day, with all these harsh shadows.
Well, that's why, if you put your subject actually in the shadow,
right,
and then get close enough to them with a flash, it does two things, especially during the summer. Your subjects are not melting. can we go? And they don't have that sun in their eyes, so it's a little more natural. They're not squinting.
Make sure you take your camera off of auto flash and set it to manual so that it actually does flash, because it won't know how to on its own. It'll think, well, I don't need to. Plenty of light out here.
Hey, another one. Do you ever take pictures of, like, landscapes or that kind of thing, some cool, colorful kind of landscapey stuff?
Yes.
Have you ever noticed that sometimes the colors come out a little harsh and don't quite you didn't quite capture Red Mountain in all its glories?
Right, yes.
Well, if you had a polarized lens, you'd have a better shot at getting the proper colors. And most people don't, especially on the handheld little all-in-one digital cameras. Here's a trick. Here's a little trick for you. And I can't claim to have made this up. This is all over the internet.
Well, you can claim, but go. But
if you've got a good quality pair of sunglasses that have polarized lenses, guess what? If you
put the job really good, and it brings out a good blue sky, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Just put that over the lens. Make sure your framing is not in the frame.
Exactly.
The rim of the glasses. But what's cool about digital photography is, like, take 18 of the same shot with 18 different configurations so that you start to learn more, and that's really a fun part.
Now, what about turning on your flash when you're taking that picture of Red Mountain?
No.
Huh?
No.
No. All right.
All right, Rick. Let's get on.
It won't make it 3 miles, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you can make it feel like it is.
Yeah, take a picture of the Grand Canyon at night. I've watched people
love
do
to
that.
I see the people in the football stadium taking pictures with a flash.
With a flash, yes. Makes them feel more gooder. Your question du jour, Rick.
Yes. Well, I was also going to comment. I think you were looking for, I'll go with 1.66 on your metric conversion for hours.
Yes.
And my question is on backups. I am looking at doing a better job on my backups. I always back up data.
Yes.
After going through a couple of times of having to restore programs and then all of the plugins, downloads, upgrades.
Yeah, big pain.
Right. And I do. I have data going back to 88 when I switched from my Atari computer to an IBM compatible.
Atari?
And you're thinking there's got to be a better way. Right?
Yes, that and my multiple disk drives. And
well, there's first of all, there's no single one-size-fits-all. This is the best backup process for everyone. So let's just start with that so that specific to the recommendations we're going to make here, understand that there are limitations to any backup system. What we've noticed, though, with our customers over the last 15 years is that they're not going to back up no matter how many times you tell them to, because it gets a little too technical and they don't feel comfortable doing it, or they forget, or that human nature kicks in going, well, nothing's going to happen today, I'll do it tomorrow.
Or if they do back up, they have no idea what to back up, where it's located, and they forgot that they installed these other three programs that didn't put things in my documents, and so they're stuck. Right.
And then the other thing is nobody really thinks about it. Now, you've already gone through this, Rick, but most people that do backup, they say, okay, I got my stuff backed up. They never went through the exercise of what happens when my drive actually crashes? What do I have to do to get back up and running? Of course, they have to figure that out under duress. So Understanding that, we looked at, well, what's the best thing that we can what's the most coverage we can get with a process that's not technical, so on and so forth? We've come up with a process where we believe the best way for the average consumer to protect themselves is to do an image backup of the entire hard drive on a scheduled basis.
So it's like taking a snapshot of what it looks like when that backup is made, and then repeat that process every day, forever, until you have a problem, and then you take that snapshot and say, I want to just go back to that. Right? And that's a pretty quick, easy process.
So when your hard drive fails, you can take this image and restore it back onto a new hard drive, and it's as if nothing, all those settings, all those little things that are just not worth backing up, at least in the minds of the backup person in the beginning, until you have to go through it a couple times, right?
Well, if I could interject where I'm at on mine.
Sure.
I'm putting in, I've got one 250 gig serial ATA drive, and I'm putting in a second one. This is just kind of insurance purposes. So I've already got the second drive if the first one fails. And I'm using an external 250 gig, and I'm backing up, I'm doing it the complete backup system and all, the mirror, to that external drive. And, part of the reason I'm putting in the other 250 internal drive is I just want to see for myself. I'm going to restore to it and just make myself sure that I can do it and that it's all there like it's supposed to be.
So you're making some kind of image to an external drive.
Right.
Right? And how are you doing that?
Well, I guess that would be one of my questions is if you had a backup software that you recommended. I've just been going through the internet, looking at reviews, and I have a Western Digital. It came with its own software, but I was looking for the best recommended out there. I saw some good comments on something. I believe the name was Acronis.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff out there. I understand where you're going here. We're going to go to break, though, Rick. If you don't mind hanging on, we're going to come back and give you some very specifics. We don't want to cut you off and have to hurry the answer on this because I think this is really important. So hang tight with us. We're going to go to break here. When we come back, we're going to tell Rick and the rest of you a particular piece of software that we recommend that you can use for this exact scenario. It's Ken and Brandon back after this.
Hey there. This is...